Okay. I'm out of breath. Does that mean I'm pregnant? That would be bad, right? All right. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know about you guys, but I've had a crazy week. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay. School and all that good stuff. Well, I am just so glad to be here with you guys tonight. I'm so proud of you guys. I have such a privilege to have such an awesome youth group. People look oftentimes to the, a lot of times, you know, it amazes me because I get phone calls and it's from youth pastors all over the nation sometimes. And they say, hey, I was just wondering how you do what you do. And I'm like, you know what? I'm wondering how I do what I do too, you know? And I just love the fact that God has blessed me with you guys. So I'm just having a blast. I hope you guys are loving Velocity. And especially our Bible study time, I just really look forward to it. As you guys know, we're in week 5 of our series, Chicks Who Rocked It. Have you guys liked learning about these ladies in the Bible so far? Okay. Hopefully you have. Guys, I know that it seems a little weird, but put yourself in the girl's shoes. We usually learn about girls all the time, or guys all the time. So we're swapping it up a little bit. But tonight, I wanted to introduce you. I know we're learning about girls, but I wanted to introduce you guys to a guy, okay? This guy is named Black Peter. He is a swan. He's a black Australian swan, all right? Have you guys ever seen these black swans? They're pretty cool looking. But this black swan is a little bit out of the ordinary. Lives in a zoo in Germany. But this swan has fallen in love. Isn't that sweet? There we go. Aw, isn't that cute? Well, he's fallen in love so much that his new mate has decided not to fly south for winter. And so he said, neither am I. I'm staying with my newfound partner. But this is there's a little bit of a problem. This swan has not fallen in love with your average other black swan. He's fallen in love with his dream boat, I guess you could say, because he's literally fallen in love with a big white paddle boat shaped like a swan. So you can imagine that there's a little bit of difficulty involved in this relationship, you know? The zoo reporter said that the black swan will swim around the other one, looking at it and gazing. They said it never stops looking at this big white swan. It's so infatuated by how beautiful this swan is, you know, and it's like flapping its wings at it, making these noises, trying to get the white swan to come. I don't know if it just likes chasing bigger swans or something. You can imagine, though, if you like somebody who's 9 times your size, it would cause a little bit of a problem, right? Well, the boat owner agreed that he would, instead of locking up his boat for the winter like he usually does, he would allow it to go to a different pond so that Black Peter and his 9-foot-tall swan paddle boat friend could hang out for the winter. So I was reading this report, and the zoo director said, this arrangement could go on forever because the animal now firmly believes he has found a partner for life. Aww. Isn't that cute? That is true. That is true. I didn't make that up, believe it or not. But so that's that. I would say that is not your everyday mushy love story. And neither is tonight. Tonight, we are going to talk about a love story. But it's not the kind that you're going to find in a stupid romance novel somewhere or whatever. This is way better. This isn't your everyday mushy love story. This isn't what you buy on DVD. This isn't, you know, girls a lot of times like girl movies. And that's okay. Sometimes you don't. That's okay. But we call them chick flicks. And us guys, a lot of us, there are some of us who like those, but would never admit that. You know, oh, no, I didn't even watch them. I don't know what you're talking about. And then you're hanging out with girls. Oh, wasn't that one so good? Remember when, and they're like, wow, that's really cool. You know, they know the whole movie. So it's okay. But Tonight we are going to read a love story, but this isn't just your average everyday love story. This is an incredible different twist on it. Because believe it or not, we all as Christians are the bride of Christ. Every single one of us. The Bible calls us the bride of Christ. Okay, actually it doesn't call us that literally, but all throughout the Bible, it gives us this idea of God being the husband and the church being the wife or future wife. Okay, let me give you a few examples. Jeremiah 31, 32, God calls himself Israel's husband. He refers to the time when he took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Ephesians chapter 5, you can read that. It's basically a commentary on how a man and a wife, a husband and a wife should get along, how they should be treating each other. And the whole time, it parallels verses 21 through 32 of Ephesians 5. It parallels the relationship between God and the church. So there's a real in-depth relationship there. Here's a verse for you. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. For I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. So in this idea, in this writing here, what Paul is saying is the church is the bride and Christ is the groom, okay? Revelation 19 says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll talk about that a little later on. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Okay, so all throughout the Bible, there is this idea that the church is the bride and God is the groom. Now, sounds a little funny, doesn't it? Especially to you guys. You're like, don't call me a bride. I'll beat you up, you know? I'm not a bride. Yeah, that's okay. I don't necessarily enjoy being called a bride. I like my title groom or husband. That I'm okay with that one. But in this context, let me just tell you, it is a very flattering thing. It's a very good thing for us to be called the bride of Christ. And so we're going to look at that tonight as we are called that in the scripture. We're going to actually be flipping all around throughout the New Testament. So get ready to turn in your Bibles. Now, I was saying, it sounds a little funny to be called a bride. And you may say, well, that's totally misrepresenting who I am. All right, probably not. Because when you really think about it, that's exactly what you are. But I don't know about you guys, but I've really been misrepresented before. In fact, I was misrepresented today, I found out. Okay, let me give you an example. How many of you guys went to Lone Tree? Anybody? Okay, you guys probably remember our guest speaker, Andy, right? Okay, here's a picture of Andy. He doesn't always wear makeup, but he did for that time, right there. You may remember that. But good old Andy, him and I have been in contact. He asked me to fly out there in January and teach at his winter retreat. So we've been talking about this. So last night, he books my airfare. Nice guy. They're paying me to go out there. I'm really excited about it. So he books my airfare and emails it to me. Okay, here's what the email looked like. Just your average looking flight itinerary, or so I thought. And I didn't notice anything unusual about it until Jen called me today about to die laughing because she had seen something on it that was so funny. So let's take a look at the details here. Check out how he describes me. Requested, pure vegetarian, wheelchair needed, cannot ascend or descend stairs. Are you kidding me? So you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get to the airport and they're going to be like, Mr. Miller, your wheelchair? I'm like, hi, I'm walking. God healed me, you know. But I'm obviously a little misrepresented there. So I thanked him by sending back this picture to him. Put together this little picture here. I love organic. In the airport wheelchair, very nice. So yeah, I was misrepresented, I would say. Now, like I said, it seems a little weird that we would say we are the bride of Christ. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that we all have to be girls? Is that, I don't get it. You know, this is really weird. It seems strange, but it's the truth. And we're going to look at a few parallels tonight, and I think you guys will agree with me by the end of the night. I'm going to be mentioning quite a few things about Jewish weddings. The reason behind that, you guys know, the Jewish people were God's chosen people, and Jewish weddings, even to this day, though not as much today, but especially in the Bible times, Jewish weddings had a lot of symbolism packed in it. So I'm going to mention that tonight. So if I say, and a Jewish girl or a Jewish guy or Jewish marriage or whatever, you're not going to think I'm turning Jewish or something like that, all right? That's why I'm saying that tonight. Packed full of symbolism, and you guys will really see it tonight. So first of all, we got a lot of blanks to fill in. On your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along, first of all, comes the preparation. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in the New Testament. And if you don't know where that is, then you need to be memorizing. Speaking of memorizing, we're memorizing the order of the books of the Bible. Hopefully you guys have been keeping along this year. But we're also memorizing James. And in just a couple weeks, anytime in the month of December, if you have memorized the book of James and you want to come tell it to me, then I will give you your $50 gift certificate to spend in Parchments, all right? So stay on top of that. By the end of the year, if you can tell it to me, I'll hook you up with $50. But that was a sidetrack. The preparation. Preparation is a very important thing for a lot of different things, especially with a baby on the way. I've realized how important preparation is. It's happening all the time. We've got preparation of the room. I'm going to have to paint the baby room sometime. We're starting to get stuff set up and buy furniture. We've taken baby classes. I've learned way too much about baby diapers. We've been preparing in a lot of different ways. We had to go to the hospital and pre-register because, you know, my mind's not going to be working when I take Jen to the hospital and she's having the baby, you know? They're like, all right, sir, I just need you to fill out this paperwork. What's my name? You know, I'm going to be freaking out, right? So there's a lot of preparation involved when you're having a baby. But it was amazing to me because I read this story a couple days ago in the news. Found out that a woman had a baby, but she didn't even know that she was pregnant. Now, I was like, how in the world is that possible? I don't get it. Okay, somehow, it actually is not as rare as you may think it is. In fact, this one doctor that delivered this baby said that this has happened now 12 different times where a woman gets pregnant, doesn't know it for 8 or 9 months. And what happened with this woman is she came into the hospital, I've gained like 30 pounds and my stomach really hurts. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe there's a human inside of you, you know? That could be something to do with it. But this woman had no idea. So the doctor's like, okay, well, let me check you out. Did you know there's a baby inside? No, what? No, I thought it was, I don't know, was her stomach moving or something? I don't know how you couldn't know you were pregnant. But can you imagine, they had no time to prepare, this family. They already had a younger daughter. And can you imagine the dad gets the call at work. Hi, honey, I'm at the doctor. The doctor said this weird thing. I'm pregnant. Really? Oh, wow, that's awesome. No. But here's the thing. I'm really pregnant. Like, really, really pregnant, okay? Oh, that's great, honey. When are you going to have the baby? Well, like, probably 30 or 45 minutes. What? What? When? How can you, you know, you can't just make a baby that quick. How in the world does that work? Can you imagine this dad flipping out? I think I'm going to be going out of my mind. I can't imagine this guy. No preparation whatsoever with this new member of the family. So preparation is very important. As we go through our outline tonight, we're going to look at the bride's role in this ceremony, as well as what we know as the groom, or what the Bible would call the bridegroom. Okay? So first of all, let's look at the bride's lifestyle. And we can get a glance at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just look at verse 2. Paul's writing, he says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So here's the thing. When Jewish people get married, especially, well, both of their lives change. Or when they get engaged, both of their lives change. But especially the girls. And in this letter here, the church is basically this betrothed girl, or this girl who is going to get married. She's engaged. And what happens when a Jewish girl gets engaged? Well, a couple things change. She wears a veil all the time. Can you imagine walking around wearing a veil? But this veil symbolizes the fact that she's taken, that she's engaged to be married. She prepares for marriage, lots of different things that she does. She begins to make sure that all her relationships are fixed. If there's any wrong, she'll go and talk to these people. Because her whole focus is on her future ceremony with her husband. And you know what? What I found out as I studied these wedding ceremonies a little bit, I found out that a lot of times in Jewish culture, the groom or the bridegroom and the bride would never see each other until they got engaged. They didn't even know each other. And their parents said, "Hey, there's your future wife. Hey, nice to meet you, future wife." Can you imagine that? That seems foreign to us because today we go by looks. We're attracted to people, and some not so much, you know, or whatever. But in this culture, it wasn't about looks. It wasn't about anything like that. The parents chose beforehand who you were going to marry. And so the time would come, and you'd be old enough. Girls, the minimum age for marriage was 12 or 13. How many of you guys are 12 or 13? Girls. I said guys. I'm sorry. How many girls? Okay, you girls, 12 or 13, could be married in a Jewish culture. Can you believe that? It's a little scary, I would think. But just like Paul says here, Paul says that in that verse that we just read, he says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That word chaste is basically a fancy word for pure. Every husband wants a pure wife. It's the same with God. And the bride's whole life is, once she gets engaged and she knows who she's going to marry, completely changes. Her focus is completely on that man and that future ceremony. And that has some application for us. Because God, as many of us have accepted Jesus Christ, He's changed our lives. Every one of us. He's changed our lives, and so our focus in life should be our future time with the Lord. So this preparation is important. The bride's lifestyle changes. But let's look at the second part, the bridegroom's love. We saw the bride's lifestyle. Let's look at the bridegroom's love. Turn in your Bibles, turn left to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll read some familiar verses here in just a couple minutes. Guys like to show their love in a lot of different ways. I for their future spouses, I've read news stories or seen pictures of guys who propose, you know, whether it was at a big football game or a basketball game. I recently watched a video, actually, where a guy proposed at a basketball game and the girl said no in front of everybody. Can you believe that? He's down on his knee. It's halftime. Thousands and thousands of people watching. He's like, "Honey, will you marry me?" And she's like, "No." And she runs off. She just runs away. And the guy's like, what do you do now, right? So you can imagine how hard that would be. Well, guys like to show their love in a lot of different ways. You know, I've heard of guys taking their girlfriends in an airplane and writing "Will you marry me?" like in corn down on the in like cornfields down on the earth, or skywriting. They hire like a big airplane to go write "Marry me" or whatever it is. Rent a billboard. I've heard of people doing. I was actually at a bowling alley one time. like on my fifth frame, and this announcement came over the loudspeaker. Is this thing on? Okay. Excuse me, can I get your attention? Betty, or whatever her name was, would you marry me? It's at a bowling alley, okay? How romantic must that have been, right? And she's like, oh my God, yes, yes, you know, and she just runs up to him and hugs him, and they like, you know, I don't know. It was just very strange. It was very strange and not really the romantic setting that I would think I would be looking for, but I don't know. I guess they really liked bowling. But preparation is very important. And one way that a bridegroom will really show his love for his future bride is by the preparation he does before the marriage takes place. In fact, in the Jewish culture, the groom spends weeks and months preparing their new house that they're going to be in together. He spends a long time preparing this place for his new bride, which is interesting to me when you read John chapter 14, some of Jesus' words. Look with me just starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." All right, so what exactly is going on here? Well, just like the groom would do, Jesus was about to leave his disciples to go and prepare a place for their arrival. You know, it's interesting to me as I studied these Jewish ceremonies, I found out some key words that a lot of times the bridegroom says to the bride. Let's say they're engaged to be married. The girl's so excited. She can't wait for their wedding ceremony. Her life is changed. Her vision is focused on her future husband. And you know what he says to her? He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he goes back to his father's house and he gets this place ready in anticipation of going back, receiving his bride, and taking her back to be with him for the rest of their lives together. It's the same as Jesus. Jesus' same words to his disciples. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come back and we're going to be together." Think about it this way. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know how long Jesus has been gone preparing now? Like 2,000 years. Heaven must be looking pretty sweet if he's been working on it for 2,000 years, right? Well, he's preparing for our arrival. Well, here's another thing that comes with marriage. Number two, the anticipation. We got the preparation. Let's look at the anticipation. Turn in your Bibles. Turn right again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Anticipation. Now, usually with anticipation comes waiting. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't really like to wait for stuff. I like stuff when I want it, how I want it, where I want it, right now. I don't like to wait for stuff. But anticipation has the idea behind it of waiting. There's a lot of things that we wait for. Summer break. I'm sure you guys can't wait to get out of school for the summer, right? Or winter break coming up sooner. Or Thanksgiving break next week. Or maybe your favorite band is coming in concert. Or, you know, whatever it may be, a big sale. In fact, I found out that almost every year I read that people get trampled at after Thanksgiving Day sales. You guys ever seen these on the news? Like they open up the doors and people literally get trampled. Like that lady. She's like 95 years old and she's getting trampled by a really mean crowd. Look at the lady all the way off to the right. She's down on one knee trying to get back up. Like, "Let me at him," you know, running after the DVD players or whatever it is. I read about a woman just last year, I believe. Last day after Thanksgiving, it's called Black Friday, actually. But this lady like got trampled and knocked unconscious because people wanted to buy $30 DVD players. Can you believe that? That's a lot of anticipation that you would knock somebody over and trample them so that you could get their DVD player. People throwing laptops and stuff in these stores. It's crazy what goes on. I stay home and sleep on that day. I really look forward to that day. But when marriage comes, there's also a lot of anticipation, as you could imagine. But spiritually, you know, you're thinking, okay, I can understand that, you know, you get married. That's an exciting time in life. But spiritually, what does that have to do with me? Well, let's look at it. First of all, the bride's salvation. The bride's salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. If you are the bride of Christ, then that means you have already accepted Jesus as your Savior. You are already saved. Salvation has already taken place. But what we're about to talk about here is the final act of salvation. When Jesus comes, or the groom comes, and takes the bride to be with him for the rest of time. And we'll read about that here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's awesome. You know what's cool about this is it parallels this Jewish wedding idea very closely. Because what would happen, remember what I told you, is they would get engaged and then the bridegroom would say, okay, bride, I go to prepare a place for you. He would leave. Sometimes it would be a year or 2 years that he's gone preparing this place that they're going to be. And then the day would come. She didn't know when this day was going to be. The bride had to wait in anticipation because she didn't know when for sure the bridegroom was coming back. But one day the bridegroom would say, all right, it's time. And he would have his buddies come with him. And there would be this whole parade running to the house of the bride with music, with dancing, with shouting, because they're so excited that finally the day has come for the bride and the bridegroom to be together. But did you catch the parallel here? Read with me again. Follow along. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So the bride is coming for the bride, or the bridegroom is coming for the bride. And it says, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. So here is this reunion. They're coming back together, and there's this idea of celebration and rejoicing and proclamation as the bridegroom comes to receive the bride. Something exciting about this. In verse 17, it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Always. He says, we'll always be with the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait for heaven. It's going to be so sweet. I can't even imagine. You know, sometimes there's some great things that happen in life. But man, your top moment in life will pale in comparison to how amazing heaven is going to be. Well, why is this anticipation building? Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, we've seen the bride's salvation, but also the bridegroom's secrecy. This idea of secrecy. You don't have to turn anywhere. Look with me in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I got a couple questions for you guys. First of all, how many of you guys like surprises? Anybody like surprises? Okay? Then the other side, how many of you guys are like the before Christmas snoopers? You don't like the surprises. You want to find out what you're getting. Okay? That's right. Okay, here's another question. How many of you guys like chocolate? Anybody chocolate lovers? Very nice. Chocolate's pretty good, right? Well, here you go then. Chocolate. Enjoy. Okay, so here's the great thing. Okay, maybe you didn't get any chocolate, but let me give you a great surprise. Okay, here's the cool thing. I read about a study that they just finished, and this was a great surprise for me. I'm going to go home and eat a lot of chocolate. The study says that small amounts of dark chocolate might help prevent clots that cause heart attacks and strokes. This study went on to say a few squares of chocolate a day can cut in half the risk of heart attacks. Yeah! Can I hear it from medicinal chocolate? Very nice. So here's what you do. You get your mom to run you by Walmart on the way home. Fill up a grocery cart with chocolate, okay? When your mom asks you what you're doing, say, I'm making sure that I'm not having a heart attack, all right, mom? As long as you're okay with that. Now, don't get real sassy with her like that, all right? Because she'll probably slap you and make you put your chocolate back and you'll just have a heart attack, right? So that wouldn't be good. But hey, what a great surprise to find out right before the holidays, right? Hey, chocolate's good for me. Whoopee! Now I can eat tons of it because I won't be getting heart attacks or strokes. I like that. I like that idea, okay? Well, the return of Christ is a big surprise. And some people are going to be more surprised than others. Let me show you why. Because it will surprise us when Jesus comes back. The day will come, and we don't know when that day is going to come. But Jesus is going to come back one day, and we're going to be like, oh, finally, he's here. Everybody's going to know. And he's going to come back. We're going to head to heaven with him. But you know what? A lot of other people are going to be very, very surprised. Because they thought that he never really was going to come back. That he left and he was gone for good. That Jesus died on the cross and that whole thing about the resurrection, him coming back from the dead after 3 days, that was all a hoax, they would say. Or maybe he was just a great teacher, but he's not God. He's not coming back. There's a lot of different theories. Those people one day are going to be very, very surprised. Did you know that Philippians chapter 2 says that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Every single person, it says, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Every single person one day will realize that Jesus is Lord. Well, verse 2 applies to those people that think he's not coming back. That are going to be really surprised because verse 2 says, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't like thieves coming in the night. I don't know. Maybe you guys are into that, but I'm not. A thief in the night is how it describes Jesus' coming back to those who are not ready, to those who are not paying attention. But we should live differently. We should live in anticipation of his return. And that's why verse 6 applies to us. It says, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible's not saying don't ever sleep, okay? Because you guys just won't survive if you don't ever sleep. But spiritually, don't fall asleep. Pay attention. Don't give up on Jesus coming back. He's coming soon, and we need to be ready. So our lives should look different because of this idea of anticipation. The fact that we should be excited about the bridegroom coming back to receive the bride, to be reunited with the bride. It's an exciting thing to think about. So let me ask you a couple more questions. This anticipation, excitement. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus' return? Think about it. When was the last time that you told somebody, hey, Jesus is coming back? Is your life different because you're so excited about Jesus' return? Are you preparing for Jesus' return? Are you keeping yourself pure for Christ when he does come back? Our lives should look different because of this excitement and anticipation. Jesus is coming. He's coming back. That's the reality. And he's been preparing for number three, the celebration. We've seen the early stage, the preparation. Now we're kind of in the stage of anticipation. We can't wait. But man, one day comes the celebration. And that's the part I'm really stoked for. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's left again. I brought this book with me. It's called Max Q. And it's by Andy Stanley and Stuart Hall. It's a really cool book on youth ministry. But I love this quote that he says in here. Let me read this paragraph to you. It says, God doesn't intend for our students to be boring, stoic, judgmental robots. Nowhere does the Bible imply that Christianity equals relational retardation. Our students capitalize on the principle of likability when they live open, joyful lives. Christian students should always be the life of the party. Jesus was. They know the creator of the universe personally. What better reason to enjoy life? Did you catch that? Let me read that one more time. Listen up. It says, Christian students should always be the life of the party. Jesus was. They know the creator of the universe personally. What better reason to enjoy life? Isn't that true? I love that quote because it reminds me of how much fun being a Christian can really be. Blows my mind. Did you know? Now, I know I'm going to really shock you with this statement. But did you know that some people think that Christians are boring? Yeah. Can you believe that? I know you guys had no idea, but that's the truth. There are people out there who think all of us are boring because we're Christians. They haven't come to Velocity because I think we'd prove them wrong. Would you agree? We have a good time. And I wouldn't call Velocity boring. I like to have fun. I like to play crazy games. I like to throw food in a blender and make people drink it. You know, I like to do crazy, gross things and have fun, right? I like to give you junk food, and I like to give you Mountain Dew and have people bouncing all over the walls, and parents come in like, oh man, I think I better go, you know? And that's okay. We're having fun, and we're serving the Lord. Being a Christian is a blast, and that's the one thing that the world is missing out on. They don't get it. We prove them wrong, though, in Velocity, and I love that about coming here. But let me ask you this. What is so exciting about being Christ's bride? We're talking tonight about the fact that we are the bride of Christ. So what is so exciting about that? Well, I would say the first thing, our part, is the bride's perfection. The bride's perfection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, start in verse 50. Follow along. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I really look forward to that. Says in heaven, we will be changed. We will be perfected. We will receive these new heavenly bodies. Okay? Now, I know what some of you guys are thinking. You're like, oh yeah? God already gave me my heavenly body. You're thinking that, right? You're thinking that. I don't need a new heavenly body. I already got one, you know? I mean, obviously, look at me. Some people may think that. Well, yeah, sure he did. Sure he gave you your heavenly... Yeah, you keep on telling yourself that. That's fine. He didn't, okay? It's actually going to be better. You're like, what? Better than this? No, it can't, right? No, it can't, okay? Revelation 21:4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is heaven. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So it says no more tears. Tears are things we all have right now. No more death. We all run the risk of death each day. No more sorrow. All of us get sad once in a while. No more crying. Looking forward to that. There shall be no more pain. I'm looking forward to that. You know what, right now? I have a splinter in my pinky that I can't get out. And I kind of don't like it. I kind of wish that it wasn't there anymore. But you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, sweet, my splinter's gone. That's awesome. And everything else about my body that's wrong is going to be fixed. I can't wait. God is going to perfect us. No more murders in heaven. No more dentist appointments in heaven, okay? No more getting braces. God's gonna say, you're going to look at each other and be like, wow, your teeth are beautiful. They're so straight. Did you ever have braces? Nope. Heavenly braces, you know. So none of that. No broken bones, no crying, no none of that. We don't have any of that to look forward to because in our future with Jesus Christ, He will have perfected us. God has big plans for our lives. Do you know that it takes about half of a second to blink your eye? We do it all the time. But to close your eye and reopen, it takes a quarter to half a second. Very quick amount of time. That we do it all the time. Well, surgery can take hours and hours and hours. You know, maybe you guys have had surgery before. I remember one time I broke my nose. It wasn't very fun. You want to know how I broke my nose? I was at school, and I don't know if I got in an argument or what it was, but this guy decided to push me. And so we're like face to face like this. He pushes me. I don't know how this happened, but he pushed me on the shoulders. I fell like this backwards, and I never put my hands out. I fell on my nose, okay? I was just like, oh, poof, just right on my nose. And I was like, you know, my nose is all crooked. And so I had to have surgery. I guess you could say I got a nose job. I'm okay with that, all right? But surgery took a while. It took all these medications and all of these terrible things. Well, we just read in 1 Corinthians 15:52 that this changing that it talks about is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Literally, in the time that you can blink your eye, everything will be perfect. The bride of Christ, anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ, will be with Him in heaven, perfect. In the time that you can blink your eye. Isn't that amazing? That is the plans. Those are the plans that God has for us. How quickly God can complete and perfect us. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. This gives us our reason to celebrate here. We'll read it here in just a minute. I read about a guy who must have had a reason to celebrate for some reason. I don't know what this reason was. But he moved out of his townhouse after living there for 8 years. And his landlord went in to clean the place up and found 70,000 beer cans in his house. Here's some pictures. Can you imagine walking into your living room like that? Yeah. Now, maybe your moms aren't like this, but my mom didn't like it when I had like 2 Coke cans out, you know? It's like a tennis shot. Yeah, really, I know. Like walking, can you imagine taking your shoes off? No thanks. They must have been in the shower everywhere. That was just an approximate, they just kind of estimated how many cans were in there because they didn't want to take the time to count it. He lived there for 8 years, and he said he never threw one beer can away. So in 8 years, he drank over 70,000 cans of beer. Here's the cool thing. They cleaned up his house, recycled all the cans. They made $800 off of all these cans. Can you believe that? Have any of you guys ever, like, spent the time collecting cans and taking it to the recycling bin? Yeah? I used to do that. My mom used to do that. Make me do that. And we would collect all our cans. I'd wash them out, rinse them out, put them in the little recycle, you know, bag. And after I had like 30 bags, I was so excited. Hey, Mom, take me to the recycling place. I'm going to make so much money. So I load up all these bags. I take them to the recycling place. I unload them. They're all, oh, great. Go ahead and weigh those. Load them up there. Sweet. Looks like you get $1.27. Here you go. I'm like, after all that work, $1.27? You know, every time I went home, so disappointed. This one would have been pretty sweet, $800. I would have been pretty stoked. So I don't know what this guy's reason to celebrate was, but I guarantee it wasn't any kind of reason like we have. We have a reason to celebrate because of the bride's perfection, but even more, the bridegroom's party. We read about it in Revelation 19, starting in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Awesome. So maybe 70,000 beer can man thought he had a reason to rejoice, but we really do. He didn't really. He's still on earth. But this gives us a picture into heaven. This thing that we learn about, this party that the bridegroom throws at his house, party my place, be there, God says. And we show up and we party with God for eternity. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the bridegroom and the bride are finally united. I think God must be the ultimate partier. He's been preparing for a few thousand years now for this party, and he's got a party planned that will last the rest of eternity. He must really like to party, right? Not in the idea that the world likes to, not in the way that the world likes to party, but man, he's got it planned, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to blow our minds. So we get to party with him. Us, his bride, we get to party with our bridegroom, Jesus, for eternity. I found out that a Jewish wedding, the wedding feast, like we just read about here, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding feast, once they had gotten back to the house, this feast lasted for 7 days. All the guests were over there. They were partying, playing games, eating food. It was awesome. Now, if you guys have been to a wedding, you know, recently here, you know that you go usually at like 6 o'clock on a Friday night. You're out of there by 9:30 or 10. It's all over. The reception, the eating part, my favorite part, lasts for like maybe an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know. I want to go to a Jewish wedding feast. 7 days of eating? That's great. That's almost heaven on earth, you know. If only there's like Jelly Bellies and Mountain Dew there, I'll be fine. Just cancel all my appointments. I don't care about anything. I'm at the Jewish wedding feast. Eating Jelly Bellies and Mountain Dew. Now, I don't know if I doubt they really eat that, but that's okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We will always be with him. So as you can tell, I hope you have been able to see tonight that this is not your everyday mushy love story. It's so much more than that. This is reality. This is our future. So I'm going to need, real quick, I'm going to need a bride to come up here. Marcus, you come up here. You're the bride. Give a hand to Marcus. How's it feel to be a bride?
It's amazing.
We're going to get some mood music here in just a minute for the little bride. He's crying. It's okay. Give it up for Marcus, the bride. You like being a bride, buddy? Yeah. Okay, you can take a seat. Very nice. Okay, so we're all brides, just like Marcus. He made a beautiful bride, I would have to say. I mean, that was great. Too bad I didn't have like a veil and a dress for you to wear. I totally would have made you do that. That would have been great. So he makes a pretty beautiful bride, I would say, or maybe some of you would say a creepy bride. That's okay. Oh, that's so nice. Let's not talk about that right now. Your marriage plans. Anyways, Jesus loves every single one of you. And you know what? There's a lot of people who will say that you need to dress this way, or you need to act that way, or you need to be good at this, or you need to have this money, or have that girlfriend or that boyfriend. Well, when it all comes down to the end of life, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all that really matters at the end of life. And I want to ask you guys this question. How should we live because of what we've learned tonight? How should our lives change? I think we should live in preparation and in anticipation for what? The celebration, right? The celebration that's coming our way. Have you guys ever seen a girl who just got engaged? They are like glowing, smiling. You can hear them talking for like a mile away. Oh my gosh, look at my ring. You know, they walk around like this, actually. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but this is an engaged girl, like this. They never put their hand down. They sleep like this, okay? And this is just how it is. If they lead worship, they play like this, you know? It's just really hard because they're so excited, right? That's okay. I don't care about hands. So they're just so excited that they can't even believe that they are finally getting married. God has done this incredible thing, brought them together with this awesome guy, and man, they are going to tell every single person. They don't care if they're laying in a coffin. That person will know that they are engaged, you know? Because they're so, so excited. Well, Jesus said, John 14:2, let me remind you of his words. I go to prepare a place for you, for us, for me, for you. Jesus went to prepare it. And one day, he is going to come back with a party. And we're going to get to hang out with him for eternity. That is for those of us who know him, who have begun that relationship with him. But just a few verses later in John 14, verse 6, you guys have all heard it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what comes next? No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. I'm the only way to get to heaven, in other words, is what Jesus is saying. So here's the bad news. If you haven't accepted Jesus, you're not going to this party. You've been invited, but unfortunately, so far, you've turned down the invitation. Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25 a story of 10 women who went excited, ready. They were waiting for this marriage feast that was about to happen. The first five were wise. They came prepared. They knew it could be a while. They brought all the supplies that they needed to stand out there for a while. The last five were unwise. They came unprepared. And they weren't ready. They missed the party because they weren't ready when the bridegroom came. Don't be one of those unwise people tonight. Because you could miss the party very well tonight. You could go on to live the rest of your life unprepared. And Jesus will come and it will blow you away because you weren't ready. And if you need to make sure that you're ready tonight, you need to commit your life to Jesus, then I want you to do that tonight because tonight could be your last night. Tonight could be your last chance to do it. Or maybe you have already made that decision. You are the bride of Christ, but you feel like you're not really pure for Christ. You haven't really saved yourself fully for him. Tonight's the night to change that. And I want to talk to you about how to do that. So if you need to make that decision tonight, it's a very simple prayer that you can pray. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I invite you into my heart. Help me to live for you. That's the bottom line. That's the prayer that we talk to the Lord. The Bible says when we say that with our mouths, we confess with our hearts that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says we will be saved. In other words, sweet, you're coming to the party. And if you want to know that for sure tonight, tonight's your chance to do it. Don't leave without talking to me or a leader. We would love to pray with you. Let's talk to our bridegroom. Jesus, we thank you tonight for loving us as your bride. I think of Ephesians 5 that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I think of what that love looks like, Christ loving the church. A self-sacrificial love, a love that has no ends, it never dies, it never gives up, it never even gets smaller. It only grows. It's so big we can never fully understand. But Jesus, we look forward to the day that you come and receive us as your bride, and we get to spend eternity in heaven with you. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're so excited for that, Lord. So I pray tonight for any of us who have made that decision. We would say we're the bride of Christ, but we haven't really kept ourselves pure. Lord, I pray that tonight you would change that. You would point out the areas in our lives that need to be changed. But Lord, I also pray for those who have gotten the invitation, but they haven't accepted it yet, that they would recognize tonight their need to accept that invitation. We're so excited about what you're going to do in and through us. Be with us tonight as we go. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you guys so much for coming. If you need to talk to somebody, please let us know.